And one, and two, Nudge said, leaning into a perfect 45-degree angle. Her tawny russet wings glowed warmly in the afternoon sunlight. Behind her, the gas man made squealing brake sounds as he dropped his feet down and slowed drastically. Hey, watch gravity in action, he yelled, folding his wings back to create an unaerodynamic 8-year-old, his blonde hair blown straight up by the wind. I rolled my eyes. Gazzy, stick to the choreography. He was sinking fast, and I had to bellow to make sure he heard me. This is a paying job. Don't blow it. Okay, they were paying us mostly in donuts, but let's not quibble. Even from this high up, I could hear the exclamations of surprise, the indrawn gasps that told me our captive audience below had noticed one of us dropping like a rock. I'd give him 5 seconds, and then I'd swoop down after him. One, two. I wasn't sure about this whole air show thing to begin with, but how could I refuse my own mom? After our last working vacation in Antarctica, my mom and a bunch of scientists had created an organization called the Coalition to Stop the Madness, or CSM. Basically, they were trying to tell the whole world about the dangers of pollution, greenhouse gases, dependence on foreign oil, you get the picture. Already, more than 1,000 scientists, teachers, senators, and regular people had joined the CSM. One of the teacher members had come up with the traveling air show idea to really get the message out. I mean, blue angels, schmoo angels, but flying mutant bird kids? Come on, who's gonna pass that up? So here we were, flying perfect formations, doing tricks, air dancing, la la la, the 6 of us, and Total, whose wings by now had pretty much finished developing. He could fly at least, but he wasn't exactly Baryshnikov. If Baryshnikov had been a small, black, Scotty dog with wings, that is. By the time I'd counted to 4, the gas man had ended his free fall and was soaring upward again, happiness on his relatively clean face. Hanging out with the CSM folks had some benefits, chiefly food and decent places to sleep, and of course, seeing my mom, which I'd never be able to get enough of, after living for the first 14 years of my life not even knowing she existed. I explained all this in earlier books, if you want to go get caught up. Yo, said Fang, hovering next to me. My heart gave a little kick as I saw how the sun glinted off his deeply black feathers, which matched his eyes, and his hair. You enjoying being a spokesfreak? I asked him casually, looking away. One side of his mouth moved, the Fang version of unbridled chortling. He shrugged. It's a job. Yep, so long as they don't worry about pesky child labor laws, I agreed. We're an odd little band, my fellow flock members and I. Fang, Iggy, and I are all 14, give or take. So officially, technically, legally, we're minors. But we've been living on our own for years, and regular child protection laws just don't seem to apply to us. Come to think of it, many regular grown-up laws don't seem to apply to us either. Nudge is 11, roughly. The gas man is 8-ish. Angel is somewhere in the 6 range. I don't know how old Total is, and frankly, what with the calculations of dog years into human years, I don't care. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Angel dropped down onto me with all her 41 pounds of feathery fun. Oof! What are you doing, goofball? I exclaimed, dipping about a foot. Then I heard it. The high-pitched, all-too-familiar whine of a bullet streaking past my ear, close enough to knock some of my hair aside. In the next second, Total yelped piercingly, spinning in midair, his small black wings flapping frantically. Angel's quick instincts had saved my life, but Total had taken the hit. Chapter 2. In the blink of an eye, I rolled a full 360, spinning in the air, swooping to catch Total, and also performing evasive maneuvers that, sadly, I've had way too much practice doing. Scatter! I shouted. Get out of firing range! We all peeled away, our wings moving fast and powerfully, gaining altitude like rockets. I heard applause floating up to me. They thought this was part of the act. Then I looked down at the limp black dog in my arms. Total, I said, holding his chunky little body. Total! He blinked and moaned.
I'm hit, Max. They got me.
I guess I'm gonna live fast, die young, and leave a beautiful corpse, huh? Okay, in my experience, if you're really hit or seriously hurt, you don't say much. Maybe a few bad words, maybe grunting sounds. You don't manage pithy quotes. Quickly, I shifted him this way and that, scanning for wounds. He had both ears, and his face was fine. I patted along his wings, which still looked too short to keep him aloft. Bright red blood stained my sleeve, but so far he seemed to be in one unperforated piece.
"Tell Akilla,"
Total gasped, eyelids fluttering.
"Tell her she's always been the only one."
Akilla is the Alaskan Malamute Total had fallen for back on the Wendy K, the boat where we lived with a bunch of scientists on our way to Antarctica. "Shh," I said. "I'm still looking for holes."
"I don't have many regrets,"
Total rambled weakly.
"True, I thought about a career in the theater. Once our adventures waned, I know it's just a crazy dream, but I always hoped for just one chance to play the Dane before I died."
"Play the huh?" I said absently, feeling his ribs, nothing broken. "Is that a game?" Total moaned and closed his eyes. Then I found it, the source of the blood, the place where he'd been shot. "Total," I said, and got a slight whimper. "You have a boo-boo on your tail."
"What?"
He opened his eyes and curled to peer at his short tail. He wagged it experimentally, outrage appearing on his face as he realized a tiny chunk of flesh was missing near the tip.
"I'm hit! I'm bleeding! Those scoundrels will pay for this!"
"I think a band-aid is probably all you need." I struggled to keep a straight face. Fang swerved closer to me, big and supremely graceful like a black panther with wings. Oh, God, I'm so stupid. Forget I just said that.